The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Boar.
And I'm Nikki.
And how is everybody doing today?
Good. We're great.
Okay. Definitely very, very adequate.
Boy, it sounds like it.
Spectacular.
Yeah.
I'm sure excited to talk about the latest things that we've been watching and doing and absorbing from pop culture and science and technology.
I'm not.
Well, all right. Now, let me just cut to the chase. Last episode, we were doing a rundown of all the stuff that I did during my summer gauntlet of Comic-Con through Camp Fangamer, and didn't get to the Camp Fangamer part. So we're going to definitely start right off the top with that. And if you're curious about some of the stuff I did at Comic-Con, last week's episode, we played some roundtable press interviews that Jess and I did with Samurai Jack creator Genndy Tartakovsky and Brad Neely and the other guys who produced Brad Neely's Hargnallin Sklopio Peepio and China, Illinois.
Sklopio Peepio.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hargnallin Sklopio Peepio. Thought didn't we run through this last week?
I don't know, probably, but it's always going to sound like a confusing...
That is true.
Is that a word or is that a phrase? I don't know what the hell that is. And so it confuses my brain whenever I hear it.
Well, it's four nonsense words. And anyway, let's talk about Camp Fangamer. Last year, Camp Fangamer was one of our highest rated things in our top 20 nerdy things of the year list. And it is a convention that's sort of an experience. And last year, it was themed around Earthbound. And this year, it was themed around the sequel to Earthbound, Mother 3, because it's the 10-year anniversary of Mother 3 this year. What it is, well, let's see. It's panels. It's a live playthrough of the game. But it's mostly about the experience that happens with everyone who comes out to this random hotel in Tucson, Arizona, and then is sort of subjected to a lot of weaving narrative and experiential components when they go there, because it's a camp. It's a summer camp for adults.
Is there a swimming pool?
There's a swimming pool.
Wait, there actually is a swimming pool.
Well, it's at a hotel.
I was like, it's not a camp unless there's a swimming pool, but there's a swimming pool, so that's cool.
That's one of the least important features of the experience overall.
But of a camp. A camp needs a fucking place to swim, Cap. Fair enough.
Now, last time, we had a very complex narrative where Pokey Minch, one of the main antagonists of the Earthbound series, had funded Camp Fangamer and was meddling with it, just wanted to be liked, but was ultimately a bad guy, you know, even though he was acting as though he was a good guy. Got shunned. There was a huge boss battle. I wrote a whole article on it, and you should totally check it out because, quite frankly, I've never experienced anything like it before, including this year, where it was a completely different experience. I'm going to be doing a write-up on this Camp Fangamer as soon as I possibly can, but it's different. Jeff Benson, the guy who puts it on, said last year was Woodstock, this year is Burning Man, which is to say that this year they kind of... It was like something that you wandered into and then were bombarded by as a participant of Camp Fangamer. But this year they had a lot of things that enabled the attendees to create their own adventure, the tools to build their own weekend and their own experience. So for starters, there was a group of people who had paid extra money to be winterns at Camp Fangamer, because the narrative this time was that... Video Gamely magazine had invested in Camp Fangamer, and they were debuting the first and last issue of a Video Gamely magazine there, and doing a sort of synergy promotion kind of thing. And this is like, it's a parody of executives being really out of touch with these hip young products they're promoting. They also sell Space-Time Reality because of aspects of the plot to Mother 3. And dealing with things that are kind of outside of space-time.
So you need to be really into Mother 3 in order to want to be here, is what you're saying.
It does help, but it's also something that is so unique. You, the experience is weird enough, you wouldn't be lost.
Was there a lot of people there?
It was, how many people? It was
12,
hundreds.
13, okay.
Yeah.
20
wouldn't
people.
Wouldn't being really weird kind of make you feel lost in it? Like, I don't know, if a bunch of random weird stuff was happening, maybe I might not connect to it if I didn't have the...
Also, if you didn't know background. Anything about, like, Earthbound or Mother. And just,
right.
You'd be like,
if
what's
I went
happening
to it, I have heard of Earthbound and Mother.
Well, it was... there's lots of activities, lots of things where whether the reference isn't there, maybe the context, because you're still thrust in the middle of it, you yourself will adapt. You'll see the things that were there to do, and you could do them. Everyone who went there was given a bunch of wooden nickels, which is dragon points, the currency of Camp Fangamer, and there was a whole room where you could go and trade for other items. Everybody who bought a ticket was informed, hey, bring random crap, because there's going to be a bazaar set up where you can rent time out, spending dragon points to rent time to earn more dragon points to amass a bunch of dragon points. And there was a bank with a stock market where you could invest dragon points to buy timeshares.
What did you get from it in reality? Anything?
The experience of becoming invested in something only to have it all taken away from you.
I thought you actually had to use these dragon coins to buy food or something. Because the market crashed.
It was exactly the housing market bubble. Like, it was the entire thing. And that was only one aspect of what was happening at Camp Fangamer. That was one piece of something that you could invest yourself in, was trying to see what was going to happen with this weird financial narrative. Where at the same time, the Winterns, they were bringing around a little mannequin boy to look like Lucas, who, if you're not familiar with Mother 3, you might be familiar with from Smash Brothers. So our little boy Lucas was a mannequin who was brought around everywhere, posed in pictures, had all these interactions with people, and people connected with this child became a symbol of everyone at Camp Fangamer. Everyone just wanted Lucas to have a good time.
Did anyone steal Lucas?
No, but there was an armed robbery at the bank where they did use Lucas's arm.
It was
faked. It wasn't real, right?
there was a full arcade that was open quite late. There was of actual cabinets in this, as well as modded Wiis to play any game you wanted. There was the Chimera Workshop where you could tear stuffed animals into pieces and reconfigure them into horrific combinations.
Dope.
And there was like needles and thread provided.
We know someone who used to do that and give it to girls as gifts.
Yeah. It really reminded me a lot of Mike's tokens of affection.
Yeah, put this giraffe head on a hippo body.
I took this long purple newt and a very adorable, well-loved looking worn-out teddy bear, and I took the newt and kind of sewed it up so it was more like a tentacle, and then sewed the tentacle so it was like coming out of the abdomen of the bear from one point to another, and like one was like coming out of his shoulder and into his eye socket. And
nice.
Then, yeah, it was good. And then I also, there was this weird little puppy thing that kicked its legs and barked, and I didn't know if it worked or not, so I took that mechanism out of the puppy thing and put it into the bear's legs so hypothetically it would flail, like its legs would flail.
Oh my gosh.
It did, we finally got some batteries for it. It worked for a split second and then died, unfortunately.
The organs were not compatible.
No. It rejected the transfusion.
There's pills for that. You're supposed to give it pills.
There was also a film festival going on, a 36-hour film festival.
That's too many hours.
Where there was a whole creative lab set up where you could use Mario Paint to create your movies or green screen, or a bunch of 90s PC programs, like some like kind of weird X-Men animation software.
What?
And there were some really brilliant films that were created. I'm going to have my favorites as part of the article.
If I'd known they were doing that, I would have gone and used Mario Paint to create a living will. It's the best thing to do with it.
And then ultimately there were narrative components. There was a final battle, and it was actually like pretty heartbreaking. There was I guess I won't get into the episode because it's very complicated to explain how it went down. But it was a neat. Really, again, it was a unique experience. It was unique from the prior year, and of course, it was sponsored by Gamer Blood, the official sports drink of gamers, and flavors like tactical rhubarb. Ask me questions. I'm
I don't have you've pretty much told me the entire thing. How many days was it?
It was 3 days.
Did they have any weird boss battles like last time?
They did, yeah. There was a finale. The last year the playthrough was a big component of it, where they were, you know, playing through all of Earthbound. This year they were playing through all of Mother 3, and it was a smaller component. People would go there for like special events. It would be worked into the schedule of like, hey, if you weren't just watching it happen, you could come here. But the thing is that a lot of the audience for the playthrough is on Twitch as opposed to actually in person at the event, because it's a charity playthrough. This time they actually had the speed gamers there doing all the moderation for taking in donations and so on. Mm. And it was still hosted by the same guy, Dan Moore, who did a great job, and still scored by the Super Soul Brothers, who provided amazing covers and video game music and just kick-ass jazz the whole time. And there was incredible moments. You can watch all of this on Twitch. It's all there, including the entire film festival. And also including the, I guess, the public debut of the greatest sport of the 21st century, Mayonnaise Hole.
Mayonnaise Hole.
Yeah.
Is that what the kids are calling it these days?
Yeah. Hey, girl, you want to come back? We can mayonnaise hole all night long.
Called it cornhole back in my day.
Well, that's the wrong hole for mayonnaise hole.
Oh.
This is a different hole.
Oh.
This is a game that was created by Fangamer when they were breaking down their setup at PAX a couple of years ago. They found some kind of object you'd find at convention, some kind of hole that's anchored to the floor that has a tube with a hole at the top of it, and they attached a packet of mayonnaise.
I'm already gonna throw up.
To a stick with a string, and the object of the game is you have to get the mayonnaise into the hole, but to do so, there's a barrier which you can't cross. And you have to lean to get the mayonnaise in the hole. And the only way one fisher can get the mayonnaise in the hole is to have an anchor, someone else holding them, so they can lean at insane angles to get the mayonnaise into the hole.
Now, so technically, it could be a ketchup packet, a mustard packet.
But then it wouldn't be mayonnaise hole, would it? Would it?
It's just not quite. Ketchup hole, mustard hole is not quite as catchy as mayonnaise hole.
Is it open?
No.
A packet?
No, it's not.
So there's just a regulation
packet.
So yeah. After the apocalypse, if you look in holes in random convention centers, there might be mayonnaise packets in there.
Mm-hmm. And then you'll know.
Yeah.
Nerds were here.
Yeah.
Now this might sound unremarkable, but trust me, watching the mayonnaise packet dance on the rim before it can fully sheath into the mayonnaise hole.
I'm going to need a diagram or a reenactment.
Yeah, I feel like we should have reenacted this.
Well, it's complicated. You need a lot of space.
Can you use this?
That's not a regulation hole.
Can we have a Nerdy Show reenactment at a later date of mayonnaise hole?
Well, I would love to play it. It's a fun game. And the thing is that there was a live mayonnaise hole playthrough. A live match of mayonnaise hole at the end of the stream. If you search for mayonnaise hole on Twitch or mayonnaise hole Twitch into Google or whatever, Camp Fangy or mayonnaise hole, you'll find it. You'll also find cell phone video of the prior test plays of mayonnaise hole from PAX as well. It was the stream did well on Twitch. It earned a great amount of money for Speak Your Silence, the charity it was for, but. It went to the front page of Twitch when mayonnaise hole started because watching the packet.
Of course
dance
it
the
did.
Hole,
of course it was fucking did. It
it's so suspenseful. You're watching.
Why
it
didn't
happen,
you send us text messages like, "Hey, tune into this. This is exciting shit."
Oh my god, mayonnaise hole.
Because I was there watching it happen.
I was right.
But you could have texted us and let us know that we could have experienced it with you.
Well, you can experience it now. You can watch it. You can watch it as it happened, and it's still just as good. I will caution in the Twitch video. It starts a little bit slow because Dan's explaining mayonnaise hole just like. I was probably a little bit slow when I started explaining mayonnaise hole. But once you watch the matches, you'll see it's amazing. Everyone who is watching on Twitch got obsessed with it. Everyone who was there watching it happen live got obsessed with it. And the night after Camp Fangamer, from 8 p.m. to 2 a.m., we were in the office creating regulation rules for mayonnaise hole.
Oh, my goodness. See, I now want to learn the rules and then try to take it to, like, larger scale.
The first rule is
hole.
You don't use anything but mayonnaise.
I won't. I'm gonna keep it to mayonnaise, but I'm gonna get like Costco size mayonnaise shit.
Oh, what if you? What if it's a big hole? Can you use like a 5 gallon container from Costco?
Don't take my ideas.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't you dare make this your thing.
Well, maybe like that
guys.
Could be, like,
I just thought of this. What if a gallon?
Okay. And would you play that with like an actual like construction crane instead of human beings, or
you just have like
no?
10
I'm talking
people
like
you up.
Rope and maybe like a giant. dick.
You're like 10 people.
Oh, shit. I found a mayonnaise hole uncut video. All right. This is probably going to be good.
But yeah, mayonnaise hole is a great game.
You know how outside of like some show.
You know how outside of some bars or places, I don't know, but there's like dude bros playing cornhole randomly. I feel like in a couple of years, cornhole. It's going to be mayonnaise.
I mean, mayonnaise hole is going to be the next Olympics.
More fucked up than what you described, Cap.
Are you watching it?
They're like dancing while they're putting the packet on the stick.
Well, they haven't even started. That's the pre.
There's a lot of pomp and ceremony involved in mayonnaise hole.
Is that one of the rules where you have to like dance while you try to put the packet on the stick?
You do have to have the ceremonial tie off of the rope around the mayonnaise packet.
How the hell do you tie the mayonnaise packet?
The referee makes sure that it's. You know, it's properly aligned. The mayonnaise is evenly distributed.
How do you get
the
mayonnaise packet off of the rope if you've tied it? If you're dangling.
Well,
over.
You don't get it off the rope. You just get the mayonnaise into the hole.
Oh, I thought you like drop it down.
See, no. I would have started twisting the stick to get the string to go higher.
Well, that looks like a slip knot.
It is a long string, and that's on purpose because twisting the string is part of the strategy. There's a lot of strategies in mayonnaise hole.
But see, you'll have to change up the knot if we go big. Like, if we
Get one of the big you're in this video.
Have to do like a
I just saw you.
Is he the one doing the ceremonial dance? Is it good?
No, but...
I'm so excited about mayonnaise hole.
Yeah. I want to, like, stop recording this right now and, like, instead turn these cameras around and just
I bet mayonnaise,
mayonnaise
hole is,
for the rest of the
I
night.
I bet mayonnaise hole is something different on Urban Dictionary. And I already know what
it's gonna is. It's going to be big. Mayonnaise hole is going to be huge. And, I mean, we haven't ruled out the possibility. When I was talking with them, you know, at the Fangamer offices, there was a possibility, you know, they were like, well, maybe we can make a regulation... Like how to play mayonnaise hole guide. We can maybe produce a regulation mayonnaise hole.
Dude,
you know,
can we make a? We can make a
publish a freaking book.
That they do that. So
do
they
it.
Might, yeah.
Yes,
like a rule book. We can have a dungeon guide. we can have
mayonnaise hole dungeon guide.
Mayonnaise hole the card game.
Ooh,
like +1/+2 length of your pole. You know, like you can even have like tabletop mayonnaise hole.
Mayonnaise hole is a beautiful thing. I highly recommend looking it up. I
mean, growing up, we had that children's game that was seriously something just about. Balancing beans.
Balancing beans?
It's called Bean Balancer.
Are you talking about Don't Spill the Beans?
Is that... Yes.
Or is it the one with the marbles on the
from
penguins?
The makers of Cooties.
Yes.
I don't know what
and don't, and the don't Break the part. Ice.
Yes.
The one, is that the one with the marbles?
The ice, where you're like
no.
actually tapping the ice.
Oh, man. I don't know what the hell
and the ice was like a fucking
what was
like,
the marble one
wet
now that
paper
Brandon
towel?
Keeps talking about it?
There's like a thin... No, there's like a wet paper towel and the marbles are on it and you do something... You drop more marbles and make it not break.
Yeah, you don't
something.
Want them oh, to
I thought you were talking about the one where there's
something.
Like 1,000 sticks and there's marble on top and you had to keep pulling sticks until they all came out.
I think
out.
That's Chinese checkers. I don't know.
I think that's hockey.
Yeah. Or Othello.
That's like a huge Canadian sport, right?
Yeah, curling.
So
it's in the Olympics.
That's the shortest possible version of my Camp Fangy.
The Olympics
experience.
In mayonnaise hole at the Olympics, that's 2020.
Exactly, it's gonna
Again,
be there.
He's just taking everybody's.
I know.
I just thought of it.
The way Brandon's brain works is
he created mayonnaise.
Who are you people, and where am I? I just thought of this thing called mayonnaise hole. Right? There's a hole, and you put mayonnaise in it. All right, what were we talking about?
I don't know what else. So that's my story.
I like that. That's cool.
Now I think we need to just start a Twitch channel where we just play games like mayonnaise hole.
No, we have to
and
come
don't
up
spill
with
the
games.
Beans
and we could just write a whole book full of just random ass games that we come up with on the spot and just perform here on the show.
Well then
we'll probably get like sidetracked and just start making a bunch of them that involve condiments.
I will produce the show.
I mean,
it could be at my house and get messy.
Wow.
What about like relish sphere? that, like, you put a bunch of relish. Sphere? You put a bunch of relish in a sphere. I don't know. Just throwing stuff out.
I mean, you know, if
I like it.
Nerdy Show would have to come up with something as truly amazing and groundbreaking as mayonnaise hole. You know, like, but maybe you know, but hopefully, Camp Fangamer or. Jesus. I've been so caught up.
What's
in,
the opposite?
I have mayonnaise hole fever. Right
what's
now.
The opposite of mayonnaise hole? Like ketchup peg. We can make ketchup peg. You put ketchup
on
a peg.
It does it. It could be a stump.
A fucking peg. Yeah, ketchup stump.
What's the game?
It's more like a pirate nickname.
You put the ketchup on the same string, but instead of trying to get it in the hole, you just slap the stump.
You find a tree stump in the woods.
That's the game. You just see how many times you can slap the stump in a row with this piece.
All right, I got it. It's like a pinata, except for you use a jar of pickles. One of those big ones.
and it's a glass jar.
Yeah.
It's a glass jar.
Naturally.
Or
filled with spiders.
You're throwing rocks instead of like a pinata.
What about...
But you're still blind.
Are you familiar with that like weird game I think was really popular amongst like yuppies in the 80s.
Heroin, where cocaine.
You take an orange and you put it under your neck.
Oh, yes.
And then try to pass it to another person.
They did that on Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Yeah, they did it in an episode of Cheers as well.
Yes, I think they did.
Is that the same thing with the cherry in your butt?
Imagine that orange game.
Poop it in a jug.
With a balloon full of relish, because I liked your relish sphere idea.
That's disgusting.
And one people's wearing a collar with a pin pointing out of it. So you have to catch, you have to take a relish sphere from someone else and burst it with this pin around your neck. Is this too crazy? Is this too much?
I like that you used the relish sphere.
I don't think it should be that. It's just everybody should have spiked collars on, so that way it's possible for anyone to fucking burst.
And you play it at Warped Tour. Yes.
I'm relishing this conversation.
I'm hungry.
Relish.
Just
in
relish
VR,
and mayonnaise.
But relish.
I think mayonnaise, damn it.
I can eat relish.
Together.
Okay, well, let's talk about this, Brandon. Last time you showed us photos from inside your body. From
you presented your ass last time.
Well,
what have you got
now? You actually did show us the
my
other
ass
side
was
of
great.
Your bubble.
My ass was great, and it looks great, too. But, yeah, no, if you remember 2 weeks ago, I was like, I had, they checked my throat and my butt, and they did a biopsy and all this. They told me that I have to lay off certain foods for, like, 6 months to a year because I melted a part of my esophagus, because I would do things like eat 6 slices of pizza a day. Ooh, big fucking deal. So I brought with me a list, and this is a fun game. I brought a list of food that I'm not supposed to eat. And
so this is the food crawl. He blames the food crawl.
At any point where you think you would have
Did
committed...
Did you give yourself ulcers too?
Yeah. So at any... Well, not ulcers. There was a lot of acid burn in there. But
yeah.
If at any point you feel like you would commit suicide because you can't eat a food, just shout it out. Just shout out. I'd commit suicide already. So... Here's
this
a list.
Will be really fast for me.
All right, here's a list of food I can't eat. Anything carbonated.
Oh, I'm out already. I'm dead.
Suicide. Anything with caffeine in it, including coffee and tea. All right, you're dead. You already do that. You already don't drink
Let's
caffeine.
Pretend I'm strong. Let's pretend I can get through coffee. Let's pretend that wasn't
And sad. Now...
It's Black Label Mountain Dew you're drinking.
And now I shall start the list. Any teas, any mints... Any carbonated drinks, I said that. No whole milk, nothing with butter in it. No chocolate milk, no sour cream, no cream cheese, no ice cream.
Nothing with butter in it?
No cheeses whatsoever.
That's my whole diet.
No cheddars, no full-fat dips, nothing fried, nothing spicy, nothing with onions or garlic or any tomato in it. So there's no hope of pizza.
Do you think the onion episode had anything to do with
it? So you're like, oh, well, you can't eat... You can't eat tomatoes or onions, and I know tomatoes are fruit, but, you know, all this milk and meat and things, well, maybe you can eat fruit. No citrus, no lemons, no limes, no berries, except for maybe blueberries.
Definitely no grapefruit.
No lunch meat, whatever that is. I guess it's sliced meat. No hot dogs, no sausage, no bacon, no salted pork, no marbled beef, nothing fried, nothing pan-fried, not a lot of fish or poultry or pork.
What?
Don't eat anything.
Can you just eat like,
don't eat anything with high fat. No
I think
high
you need
fat,
a safe
cereals.
To eat list instead of the what you can't eat list.
Yeah, it does sound like the question like, is what can you eat?
That, you
like
know,
some
I've
lukewarm
been that out.
Quinoa,
grilled chicken.
I can have grilled chicken.
You can have lettuce.
I can have relish.
Yeah. Room temperature oatmeal.
I would
there
do oil vinaigrette stuff. Liz, I had the same thing.
Hold on, vinegar seems quite acidic.
It
you
does,
know what?
But it's a pH balancer.
Yeah, and I looked this up. It's really weird. It is acidic, but it neutralizes acid. I don't fucking know how that works.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to write in and tell me how an acid neutralizes an acid.
You're an acidic Jew.
So, yeah. It's true. And the problem is, like, you know how much of a glutton I am. And now I can't eat anything that I enjoy. So, you know, suicide.
It's going to be an interesting year.
Suicide is not on the list of things to avoid.
Hang in
I'm
there,
just
baby.
Saying. I'm just saying.
Oh, God.
So that's been my... So, basically, right now, I'm suffering a massive caffeine hangover. And the funny thing is the doctor's like, well, you don't have to give up everything. Just, like, in moderation, you know, do a lot less. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing anything on this list. Fuck you. I quit
how
caffeine.
How long has
cold
it
turkey.
Been? How long has it been?
Since you've had caffeine.
Like 3 days.
Oh, okay. You're
my
right,
head was
you're
killing
right at the tail end of it then.
Yeah, no. I feel like I'm going to throw up on all of you. And then
yeah, it takes about 72 really hours to get over the chemical dependence.
It's really bad.
I've done it before. It sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'll just drink some soda. Wait. No, I can't. Oh, wait. I'll just take some Excedrin. Nope. I can't have Excedrin. I can't have NSAIDs or caffeine. So.
What if you got it intravenously? Because it seems like it's got to be more of
a... Okay, I thought of that too. I thought if I just put it into my butt, I should be fine because it absorbs
quicker.
Well,
that's in the same system, though. Like, that would be
you're still putting...
That would be your intestines.
It would go to my bloodstream.
And it'd have to be, directly into your bloodstream.
Well, it's my large intestines, not my small intestines.
Wouldn't it be better to just take the... Just get rid of the chemical dependence altogether?
I should have a coffee enema.
No. You don't understand how drugs work, okay?
So that's what I've been doing.
Now, you just said that it was your large intestine that had the problem, but you were advocating for putting caffeine into your butt. You don't understand how intestines
caffeine
work.
Enema.
Well, the large intestines will just start absorbing it into the bloodstream, and a lot of it will come right
but
back out.
But that's where you said your problem was.
No, with the small intestine.
Oh, okay. Yeah, then shove
it
right up
your butt. It's just the acid in my stomach. My intestines and my butt are fine.
I can't believe you're saying this, but they make caffeinated soap.
They do.
Yeah.
No. They said just don't do anything with caffeine.
I even have a caffeine body scrub for my legs.
Grande latte enema.
Dude,
for
Brandon. I smell like coffee just coming out of the shower. It's terrible. But
it sounds pretty awesome.
It does.
You mean it's terrible?
Because then I just actually need coffee now that I've been teasing myself with the smell of it. It's just once I get out, I'm like, yeah, for real though.
Where it at?
Where? Where's my coffee?
So that's what I've been up to. What are you guys been
up
to?
I'm truly sorry for your loss.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I don't know how you're going to deal with that, dude.
I'm already dead.
Oh, okay.
Just a little bit on the inside.
Enough.
No, I'm just fully.
Well, I have been initiated into the Squatty Potty Collective. Woo! Yeah.
Get yourself a crown, boy.
You guys are still like 30 years behind where I am.
I've got headphones and a hat already. This isn't working. But it does. When I got it, it came with one of these crowns that it's a little shitty. But
I need to get on this bandwagon so badly.
Well,
you can literally get on it.
It's right in the next room.
I know. And every time I'm here, terrible things happen because that thing is just.
We can film it for Nerdy Show.
Perfect.
But they were on sale is the reason I got it. They were 40% off, and Cap and I both upgraded.
I lose
upgraded.
Track of time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been meaning to, been wanting to upgrade to the bamboo squatty potty for a long time now. Show the commitment.
I started right at the 9-inch level, too, so I'm already advanced.
You guys getting, the handcrafted, custom-made squatty potties.
He deserves it. He's like... He's inspired me to get a squatty potty.
Guys, I don't even need a squatty potty. I'm that good.
Yeah.
As you could see, my butt was fine.
You showed me your techniques.
Yeah. It was...
I tried that once. It just didn't...
Well, pretend you're a fucking bird and you'll
nimble,
be fine.
You know, I'm not graceful.
So anyway, my shit has just changed now. Never the same. Never the same. Except for, I don't know, do you have to just completely throw your pants somewhere else when you use one of these things?
The 9 inches does make your pants touch the bowl.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a reoccurring thing.
Just like my 9-inch
It makes it
penis.
A little bit more complicated.
7 inches, that wasn't the case. 9 inches, yeah.
Okay,
nine.
I didn't...
9 inches.
I didn't know if that was an intended
thing. Hey, listeners,
do
you know what a squatty potty is? Because I just realized if you don't, you're
Dude, they know what a squatty... Just look it
we
up.
We talk about them all the time. So.
Yeah, it's a stool for your stool. So,
am I the one that gets 100% naked before I poop and before I pee?
Why your shirt?
Because it's just weird. Some,
well, I mean,
some, well, sometimes
not
I leave it
often.
On.
If something's wrong, if I'm like, oh no,
you take your socks off unless you're in a public restroom. You leave your socks on because that's disgusting.
I got the too much macaroni sweats. Yeah. Better get this off.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you're going to be in it for a while. You take your shirt off to air out. And then you hop up with just your socks on or not socks. I don't know. Whatever.
What, are you going to slip?
You're going to slip and break your ass.
Or do you have those
I
grippy
ever
socks?
Have I
do you
ever
have the grippy,
slipped?
Grippy socks?
No.
One day, Grandpa Brittle Bones Brandon is going to slip.
It's all about
be
center of
because
gravity.
He's not allowed to have any more dairy.
He drowned in a pot of his own urine.
I actually can go to the bathroom way easier now that I'm not eating every junk food item on this list, which was
because
everything
you're not
I was
shitting
eating.
Anymore. Because lack
you
of
know
food.
What? That is true. No, my poop just turned straight up green. It's weird. Anyway.
It's going to be excreting phosphates in no time.
Yeah.
And as an update to my World of Warcraft conundrum that I had, I settled on leveling up my Death Knight first and my Monk second.
Can they use that sewer base?
No.
Neither of them
can, but they're both undead. And I think that that's good with some of the changes that have been happening in the expansion. So I'm not going to give that away for anybody that hasn't played it yet, but there are some big shakeups in the Horde. That's all I'm going to say.
I've been playing Neverwinter.
Still.
Still. It's an MMO. I mean, it takes a while.
Anyway, that's about all I've been up to. But we haven't seen Nikki for a while.
Yeah. What's the latest?
What have you been doing?
Well, I've been playing a ton of Pokemon Go. I've been saving bats as of today, which is why, you know.
You saved a live bat.
I saved a live bat because I...
Like, twice?
It'd be really difficult to save a dead bat.
Well, it was,
I saved this dead bat.
I saved it in the freezer.
She said Pokemon Go, which is usually followed by fucking Zubats. So,
right?
Not a Zubat, actual bat.
It was a true Pokemon's. Like, it was a legit a Zubat. It's a true bat, yes.
True bat.
I was running errands. I was at a FedEx faxing things when this bird appeared, you know, and all these ladies are like, oh my God, there's a bird inside. And I looked at it and I'm like, that's a bat. And then apparently that just set one girl like off. So
she's screaming. She's like, oh my God, it's a bat.
She was not excited to be there any longer, but she worked and she had to close. So it was just like, I tried talking her down. I'm like, look, bats are cool. It's just going to eat the mosquitoes. It's a
and
tiny
those have
one.
Zika.
Exactly. I even use that. I'm like, with the Zika virus out, this guy's your best bet. She's like, I'd feel a lot better if it was bird. I'm like, birds are more likely to actually attack you. So.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
For real. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, lady, you're just enjoy your Zika free zone now. But then.
That's what we need in Florida is more bats.
Yeah, but then it started like flying around and smacking the walls and clearly trying to get out of the doors and stuff like that. Take this away from me. But I got this bat out of the building and, you know, I was super happy with myself opening up the box and watching it spread its little wings and just fly off. I love bats. I think it was so cute. And then just one bird tried to attack it and I was just like, oh my gosh, that was a close call. That would have been so bad. I would have felt so terrible if I just unleashed this thing and then all
of a sudden. Was it at the point, like, was it on the ground right now or in a box or flying?
It was flying.
Flying?
It was, like, going towards the tree when another bird was like, oh, hey, thanks for feeding me, bro. And then I'm, like, watching this bat, like, no, a giant crow's going at it. And then.
You delivered this bat into its own personal hell.
Dude, I thought I was doing such a great thing for this bat. And then I ended up just being like, oh, and here's your death.
Bat died?
No, luckily it almost did. Like I was just sitting there like trying to like shoo the birds away, but it just kept flying the bat. But then the bat ended up like two birds went after it. I'm not entirely sure of what happened. All I know is I just see it fall out of the air and slap the concrete ground. And then the box I already had it in, I just ran back over and like recaptured it. And then I just took it home with me. Like a weirdo, like carrying this box. Like this one lady from the store was even like filming it. But then, like this bitch is crazy.
We're gonna see that on YouTube later.
Probably just like, look at this crazy bitch.
Crazy bat bitch.
Idiot. So,
I'm gonna look that up right now.
Crazy bat bitch.
Probably
FedEx crazy bat bitch.
Okay.
FedEx bat.
You're gonna fall into an internet hole.
Oh God.
Which we can put mayonnaise in.
Good.
Can we put mayonnaise in the internet hole?
There you go.
Maybe we can make a flash game for mayonnaise hole.
No, I'm going to put a hole in a monitor. Anyway.
But anyways, I ended up taking it back. It was definitely discombobulated and stuff, but eventually it was able to fly. And I think my mom actually took a lot of video of it. So there's like a video of it crawling into my glove after it crashed the first time it tried flying. Like... I almost wanted to keep it, but I was like, I have a cat. It's going to get eaten. Like, mm-hmm. No matter what, as long as this thing stays with me, it's food. So I had to let it go.
I think I can eat a bat.
There's actually...
But it flew away. It was fine. When it stopped being stunned, it flew away, right?
Yes.
There's actually a lot of results for FedEx bat. But none were uploaded today, so,
okay,
so not yet.
Cool.
Wait, I don't understand. Do you mean bats inside of FedEx and there's just a bunch of videos for this?
Yeah.
Why is this such a frequent thing that there's bats inside of a FedEx? Is someone just sending packages with holes in it and they're like, ooh, there's bats in here.
I don't see any from that particular circumstance.
Yeah, I mean...
Weird.
It was interesting. I was hoping it would like bite me, it would
and turn into a vampire.
I was thinking of something more superhero-ish.
Vampires are superhero.
You know, like have a Bat Blade? Girl who actually had like bat powers.
Okay,
bat no, nipples.
Like a Spider-Man, like but man, with bats man bat. Women.
What
like
if you're Kirk Langstrom, man bat?
Yes. What if it, all I did was mutate you, so you just had bat nipples?
What do bat nipple like? I just
that's it. It's so all they get changes.
Darker I don't or know. Smaller? I don't.
I've never seen a bat nipple. I know they exist.
Hold on.
Can you milk a bat?
I'm gonna. Yeah, I think so.
They're mammals. Of course you can milk them.
Hold on. I'm gonna Google search body, bat nipples. Hold
when
on.
You, but it doesn't. If even if it was just like no matter what it looks like, is it going to be relative size to my body, or is it going to be the same size as this tiny bat?
The same size as a tiny bat.
Just the same.
Every time I look up bat nipples, it's Batman.
In the bat well, nipple yeah. suit, yeah.
That makes sense.
I just want an
George
actual...
George Clooney, why?
I guess there's not a lot of people taking... Oh, no, what? They're too tiny. You won't even... You'll have no nipples.
You know what? I'd do it.
Bat nipples, yes. Everyone. You'll get bat nipples.
Oh my god, I'm getting them like either tattooed or taken off. One of the two.
Well, she's getting this tattooed, everyone. Tune in next week.
What are you showing people?
Oh, sorry. There's a really crude drawing of boobs with the bat symbol over the nipples.
Ooh, which, by the way, bat nipples, spider boobs. Huh?
Okay.
Yeah.
That we had a conversation internally at Nerdy Show. It's been a reoccurring point of discussion over the years in Nerdy Show is that spider silk has been developed by companies increasingly as a material for consumer product. Like you might in a few years have a T-shirt made from spider silk. It'll be bulletproof, which really just means it'll be resistant to tearing because obviously it would if you were shot with a bullet and the T-shirt didn't break, your body would be horrifically bruised underneath. So enjoy that. But spider silk is becoming more and more of a consumer product.
So are there labs filled with spiders making silk?
Mm.
They've actually managed to create it synthetically, which is the real challenge, because spiders were... It was an invasive process. People really couldn't figure out how, you know, their bodies combine several chemicals into a protein or whatever it is as well, complex as that.
It's quantum mechanics. It's just in their body. Their butt's just full of quantum mechanics. All.
We'll get there, guys. Mechanics. Yeah,
it grabs it grabs the materials out of another
there's
space
quarks
and time.
And gluons and yeah.
They're just in and out of there just constantly. Yeah. Just
so
uncertainty.
So, Bohr, you were conceptualizing a lot of different
applications for this. John West,
SciTech correspondent John West.
Yeah, he was talking about it. He didn't really link an article, but he said that they were going to be making. Sportswear and underwear with these things, specifically like bras. So I kind of in my head started thinking like, oh man, how are they going to market these things? So I came up with a bunch of different ways to sell these things. Some of them are pretty terrible, I'll admit, but here's what I got. I've got a few different ways to pitch these. All right. Your tits are in good webs with spider bra.
Oh geez. So you're doing like commercials.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what marketing is.
Oh, and she drew.
And Nikki, what you mock up here? You got some. Spider bra.
Did you draw the bra for the spider?
Yeah.
with spider wearing eight boots.
She came up with some visual aids to go along with my slogans. All right, the next one. Don't be a recluse. Get out and huntsman till you're a black widow. With spider bra.
Wow.
That might be too many spiders at once.
But it makes a lot of sense. Don't be a recluse.
Right.
Get out and hunts man.
And hunt.
Till you're a black widow.
Oh, Jesus.
With spider bra.
What does it mean to be a black widow? What does that mean?
You know, you kill him. You catch the man, you kill him.
Yeah. I mean,
you move
what black
on.
Widows do. They marry a guy and they kill
no,
him for
that's
his money.
Not, that, what, no.
It looks like it says, huh.
Yeah, it did. I was gonna do something else with that, but I realized that I'm really bad at drawing.
I think we should all make spider commercials. I can make one.
Wait, hold on. I've got like half a dozen more. Okay, spider bra. You'll get caught up in it.
Oh,
that one's good. I like that one.
All right, spider bra. Insects everywhere are just dying to get into them, but they're made for you. they're 10 times stronger than steel, produced by nature's creepiest crawly, and designed to comfort and support your balls. Spider Breeze.
That's too factually. That's too factually. I learned a lot from that one. That's a, that should have the more you know this, across the top.
I would want to know that the things supporting my balls.
You need them.
Is like impenetrable.
10 times stronger than steel.
Yeah.
I want those spider briefs to lift and separate.
Yes.
It's important.
I'll have to get back with the design team on that one. But all right.
Your junk will never move again.
Next one. You don't have to have 8 legs to feel comfortable in these all-new spider panties.
Did you stay up all night? They're like, I'm going to drink all the ecto cooler.
No, I made most of these over the course of about 5 minutes after he brought up like, spider bra, and my brain just started going nuts.
I'm trying to think of one right now, and all I hear is pain.
All right. Cotton, bamboo, and other plant fibers are great, but have you ever wished that you could have spiders make you stronger, lighter, and more fashionable unmentionables? This fall, get into a literal genital cocoon with spider underwear.
That sounds like more befitting of like a 1950s radio commercial. Like, yeah. can you do that with a different kind of deeper
sure,
voice?
Sure, 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 sure.
Imagine you're holding a cigarette.
Okay.
Cigar. Yeah.
Cotton, bamboo, and other plant fibers are great. But have you ever wished that you could have spiders make you stronger, lighter, and more fashionable unmentionables? This fall, get into a literal genital cocoon with spider underwear.
And now Brandon with traffic.
Don't go outside. There's too much. Put me on the spot, Kat.
That was great, YouTube.
Do you have any more? Is that it?
No, that's it. That's it. Do you have more? Did I inspire
don't
you?
Ride in a wolf spider pack of one, because you got two boobs. Wear a bra made of spiders.
So. Nikki?
That's my attempt.
I vote no bra. No, don't do that.
This is clearly not marketed for people like her.
No. Okay.
Do you want a thong that's nice and strong?
Ooh.
I haven't finished the rest of the part of the spider
like
one.
That
that's
one.
All I've got.
I don't know. See.
You can just give up. That's fine.
No.
I really, guys, we can't. There's going to be some dead air for a sec, but we really need to come up with one. We really need to come. You and me need to come
I
up
know.
With one.
I'm feeling.
How about just put it on the back burner and we'll come back to it.
Yeah.
Let's start talking about something else.
It won't burn on a back burner, will it?
Oh, wait. It will probably catch on fire.
How can someone? I mean, it's not fireproof. Sorry.
By the way, guys,
it's gonna.
I have breaking news. I have an update on the bat nipple story from when you get bit by a bat. Their nipples, I don't know if you can see this, are in their armpits. So have fun with that. Have fun with having weird, misshapen, tumor-looking nipples in your armpits.
They're not for me to have fun with.
No, well, they're not for you to do anything with.
I'm just gonna come on this show and just be like,
unless you're having children in your armpits.
Try to see if I can do the like little nipple tassel spinny things.
But they're in, but they'll be in your armpits.
Yeah. Armpit pasties.
Woo.
Oh, okay. Well, that was yep.
If anybody, I don't know. I like to have nipples removed and see how well that goes. I just want to be a freak of the lady with no nipples.
I like that we both
that's
had
the thing.
We
have
had
that.
Underarm nipples that. And a genital
or just
cocoon.
Have them moved. But like, take them off here, stick them here.
The thing about nipples is they can grow back. They're one of the few parts of the body that like you know you have to be if you super destroy it. But like I heard a story of a person having their nipple like. Accidentally torn off via some sort of awful situation. I don't remember what this was.
Okay.
And it grew back.
You do know why that is, right? Because from in the past, from like 2 million years ago, we got mixed somehow with lizard DNA, and there's little sacks of lizard DNA in the nipples, in the areolas. The areolas contain lizard DNA. That's why they can
no
grow back.
Part of me is no goddamn lizard.
So you see, we are just like the lizard people.
No.
That's why your liver grows back.
I ain't
too.
Nothing like none of them lizard men. Nothing.
No, but that's actually there's actually lizard DNA.
No, there's not.
He said with a completely straight face.
Not unless you're one of them goddamn lizard men, which do exist, and you might be one now.
Apparently, we're all ones.
He knows a lot about lizards.
That's how they get you.
He only knows about birds.
But now he's talked about lizards, so clearly
okay. Well,
changed.
Birds and lizards are kind of related, actually. If you want to go back,
no,
and talk about
just like
it.
We don't have lizard shit in my nipples.
Well, you don't have lizard shit. Just DNA.
Let us hope none of us have lizard shit in our nipples.
I really want... Look, cut off your nipple right now. It'll grow back in like a couple
let's
of
cut
years.
Cut off your nipple, lizard boy.
I don't have nipples.
I see one right now.
They're hamster... It's hamster... I have hamster DNA. They're hamster nipples. They're really tiny.
And I do believe. I don't...
What were we doing? What were we talking?
You should see how much stuff he can pack in his cheeks.
Oh, Let's do it.
Why don't you come over here and I'll find out.
Hey, you want to put my nuts in your cheeks?
Why doesn't everyone come over here and we'll find out? I would love to not eat those nuts in my cheeks.
All right, all right, all right. So Amazon, months ago they announced, actually back in 2014, they announced that they were bringing the Tick to Amazon. As in, like, Ben Edlund's The Tick, the cartoon on Fox Kids, the live-action show on Fox featuring Patrick Warburton. They actually said in September 2014 that Patrick Warburton was coming back as The Tick. And then we found out earlier this year that, in fact, he's not. But he is executive producer, as is Barry Sonnenfeld, who was part of the original Tick production team for the live-action show. Him and Ben Edlund were teaming up to do a new iteration of The Tick live-action. And it is actually, the pilot episode is on Amazon right now. Weirdly, you have to vote on it to decide if we're going to see any more of this show.
You can vote on Amazon shows?
That's actually how they've been doing things.
Can we do that on Netflix if a show sucks? I'm like, no, I don't want
it. No, Amazon's the only one who does this.
You can probably rate it, like, do, like, one star and hope that they look and listen.
They might, yeah. That would be one way to do it on Amazon. On Netflix. But the Amazon, they've actually had a couple shows like this. For example, Chris Carter, before the X-Files resurgence happened, had a show that was only slightly better than the new episodes of the X-Files that he wrote and directed, which is called The After. And that was a show you could vote on whether we get greenlit or not, and it didn't. And wow. Here's the thing about this Tick. Boar, you saw it. Nikki, you saw it. What did you guys think?
I thought it was pretty good. Like, I wanted more. It didn't seem like there was enough of the
crazy.
No, there was plenty of crazy, but I feel like I want more to get a really good impression of it. But I liked what I saw so far.
Yeah.
It did feel like, you said it was too short. I think it was too short. Maybe what we can all think is too short. But it actually felt like maybe it was an hour-long pilot that for some reason...
It was only 30 minutes.
They cut it. Yeah,
right, cut it exactly.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I know that they knew going into this project that it was going to be voted on, but I don't know that they knew it was going to be half an hour because it felt like it cut off in the middle of a scene.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it most definitely did.
What were you going to say, Nikki?
Oh, well, I don't know. I like the show. I was more amused by it than the trailers, like, kind of made it seem like it was trying almost too hard, which something, I don't know, it was still kind of, it was very nostalgic for me still. Mm-hmm. I watched the cartoon as a kid, not the live action one, but I grew up watching it. I thought it was hilarious how just, like, weird and random it was at some points.
What was the actor's name again?
Peter Serafinowicz.
Right, right. He reminded me of Adam West's Batman. Like, yes, a
that's
lot.
That's how the Tick acts.
Yeah, but, like, he sounded like
it
him at,
almost
some,
reminded
at a lot of
me
points.
Of if Jim Carrey was trying to do an Adam West Batman, maybe.
Good Jim Carrey or bad Jim Carrey? Good Jim Carrey.
Like from The Mask, or even right. Like it was a little Ace Ventura-ish at times, almost like his mannerisms and just. But then, of course, there are parts about the Tick. Like, I don't know if I want to. I mean, I'm assuming most people, if someone's watching it, they already know about the Tick, right?
I have to tell everyone at home that I didn't watch it because when they posted this in our notes, they were like, it's on Amazon. I was like, well, I don't have Amazon Prime. Fuck. And then right before I get here in the notes, it's like, it's free on Amazon. So all of you out there can watch it free on Amazon.
You can watch and vote on Amazon.
You do not need a Prime account or anything. It's free.
Now, was it just me or did anyone happen to notice the resemblance with Arthur?
Is Arthur in it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Arthur's actually the main character. The Tick is hardly in it.
Well, that's kind of how we used to, well,
that was how it was in
the cartoon.
Arthur was the introductory character in the live action series for the audience.
I think he needed to be even a little chubbier. Like, he has, like, the round face for it, you know, but I just feel like he didn't have that, like, beer gut belly thing going on just yet.
That's true. But they've actually changed a ton in this show inherently. Arthur's still an accountant, but that factor didn't come up because Arthur's actually a traumatized adult from an experience he had as a kid, to put it mildly.
His trauma made me laugh the entire time.
Oh, so I won't know what the trauma is unless I watch it.
It was absolutely hilarious.
Well, it's basically this is Arthur gets an origin story as to why he's obsessed with the superhero community. And not that he wasn't ever really obsessed before. Now he's legit, like, conspiracy theorist obsessed. because a terrible, terrible thing happened to him involving the Terror, you know, the elderly supervillain who's been around for the whole of the 20th century. And in this show, he's played by Jackie Earle Haley, who you might know as Odin Quincannon from Preacher, or Rorschach from Watchmen.
Wait, is that the same guy?
Yeah.
Jesus H. Christ.
He's really good.
Wow, okay.
He's a regular Gary Oldman.
Looks nothing like him. Okay.
And he looks nothing like either of those characters in The Tick either.
Shit. He kind of reminded me of the bad guy from Farscape.
Yeah, he did look like that too.
Scorpius?
Scorpius, yeah.
I love Scorpius.
Guys, I have what might be a controversial opinion. I hated this.
What?
I hated it.
Why?
It was so grimdark and joyless. I hardly laughed at it at all.
Really?
Yeah. It was trying so hard.
I think every scene with The Tick in it, I was like laughing quite a bit.
And maybe that was the problem, that we got half of an episode in which The Tick constituted like maybe 5 minutes of screen time. And Arthur and his bizarre, like...
Yeah, Arthur's life was pretty plain and boring, but then like The Tick coming, like just kind of bounding into it, I thought was hilarious.
It maybe could have been good, but I feel like if I didn't know what The Tick was, if I didn't have a long-standing relationship...
You'd
with
be like,
this,
what is this with show
the, If I saw just this pilot... I would think, oh, that was an interesting attempt, but I will not greenlight this, you know?
Have you ever... It kind of reminded me slightly of Wilfred.
I have seen Wilfred, yes.
And you know the pilot episode of that where...
I haven't seen the pilot episode.
It,
or the Australian original.
Okay, or, it's definitely not going to be similar to the Australian version, but honestly, when I was watching it, it definitely had the same kind of vibe.
Hmm.
Where basically there's just this guy who's, you know, clearly troubled, has some issues with life. In Wilfred, he tried killing himself. It wasn't to that degree in this show. It was definitely a lot more lighthearted.
But Wilfred's basically imaginary, right? I mean, I know he's a real dog, but
you don't know that The Tick isn't imaginary.
Well, actually, I was considering the possibility that The Tick was entirely Arthur's delusion.
That everything exactly. was. So is this more of like a dark comedy?
You don't know yet. Like,
because that's why you would like it, boy. I get why you would like it.
The 30 minutes was not enough for me to actually, like, get a gauge on what's truly happening and what they're trying to imply or not imply.
Yeah, the creator, Ben Edlund, he said he was going for a more stakes-driven genre, and he wants to sort of better parody the current climate of superhero stuff. But in doing so, I feel like he's actually indulged it to an extent that is way more reminiscent of DC forcibly inserting darker context into stories and not really reacting to, say, I mean, maybe by the time that this entered production, because it had a long production. He said he was working on it for a 3-year process of battling drafts back and forth between Amazon, Sony, Barry Sonnenfeld, and himself. So 3 years of production on this, and where it changed shape from being something that they felt confident having Patrick Warburton on as The Tick, to where it shifted into a show that was so different from The Tick from 15 years ago that they felt having recasting Warburton as The Tick would sort of set an expectation that would confuse people.
Yeah.
I feel like it's probably Sony's fault if you didn't like it. They kind of they tend to ruin things.
And so
I get it.
I wish I laughed more. I wish it. I didn't feel like I actually wanted more. I just felt frustrated with it. And here's the thing that really gets me is that if I understand looking at a superhero universe and saying like let's do that. Let's have a more story involved Tick with real life consequences and so on and so forth. What's funny to me is that they'd go in this direction for one, knowing that they were going to have to be voted on and showing something that I don't feel like was an accurate representation of what the show's potential was. Mm. And two, going so like morose with it. Like it's so Arthur's so down in the dumps and he's so miserable. Like the best scene in the whole show was the Terror flashback sequence. I think there was a fight scene with The Tick where the special effects during the Terror sequence were great. The special effects in the Tick sequence were terrible. They couldn't even get a muzzle flash to look realistic. And
I do not pay as much attention to details as some people. I learned this talking about videos and movies and stuff. Because yeah, I didn't notice any of that.
To me, I was thinking, like, for one, it's an Amazon original. This isn't something coming from things I've already had, like, high stakes.
I don't know. Amazon puts out some really high quality
Man in the
stuff.
High Castle, yeah. And the pilot for Man in the High Castle was
I haven't seen
incredible.
That show. I haven't seen it.
I felt like maybe they blew all their budget on just the terror sequence or something. This is actually the guy who directed this is a cinematographer for Inception, who got an Academy Award for that, and who also directed Transcendence. He was the guy the sole director of that. So,
well, okay. In comparison to that, no, it wasn't that great.
I would like to make a parody of Man in the High Castle called Bird on the High Perch.
Okay,
I'm just putting that. That's an idea that just popped in my head. So you'll know.
What are the warring factions in that?
No, it's exactly the same, just with birds. Sorry. Okay. It's exactly the same.
So a little bird Hitler group. Beep, beep, beep.
Yeah, same dialogue, everything. Yeah, there'll just be subtitles.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I have seen that show. Never mind.
I look at that's why she knows of it. Because little Hitler. Beep, Hitler. Beep, 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 beep.
Oh, yes. That's. Dang.
Bird right Hitler.
Yeah.
So Edlund had a quote. He said, there are periods where the script was much more whimsical and had a lot more of what would have functioned as maybe as cartoon humor, more puns, more throwaway superhero-based gags. Again and again, the tone rang in a problematic way because it was not grounded enough to really withstand the attention. A binge watcher wants to have a substantial universe to take part in. It was a strange balance because I cannot use the same puns that I would use in the cartoon. There needed to be stakes that the Tick universe has never had. Maybe more stakes the Tick universe has ever had in comic books, really. From that point forward, the only blood that's been shed in the universe of the Tick was shed in the comic book, and everything else was extremely light. There's a very serious missed opportunity here. Has anyone read the Tick comic books?
No. I have not, but I know of them. My roommate
I have heard of the Tick.
My roommate reads the comics.
Could you pass me the pile of
books
under here? Yeah.
You want this one?
The one below it, actually.
This is huge.
This is a volume that you can buy called The Tick, The Complete Edlund. It's everything that Ben Edlund, the original creator, wrote.
Wow.
And he's a talented guy. He worked on Angel, Firefly, Supernatural. He's been involved in a bunch of different projects. He's really great. And his work on the Tick comic is absolutely incredible. The first storyline in The Tick is a parody of Frank Miller's Daredevil, as in Elektra and the Hand Ninjas and all that jazz. I'm shocked that they didn't take this opportunity to create a more darker parody of superhero stuff and straight up do that storyline, which has never been done in the animated series. It was never done in the live action show. There's a straight up parody of Elektra called Oedipus, and the ninjas are like, there's life and death consequences that hit you, where the Tick is this like larger than life cartoon who exists in the real world, and bad stuff is happening all around him.
But that doesn't sound like a comedy. That sounds kind of dark too.
Exactly. Wouldn't it have been great?
Isn't it possible that they still will do that?
They still could do that. But
they didn't give you enough to say this show is going to be great from what they showed.
I mean,
you.
Exactly. So far it does look like it's supposed to be a little bit darker of a comedy because of little bits of the flashback. I feel like
this pilot's dark. It's dark as hell.
Who's the director again?
But it definitely had very hilarious moments.
Will Pfister is the cinematographer from Inception.
Yes, I will. they should have just gotten Brian Fuller.
No, but did anybody notice I was aware of it when I was watching it. I saw Arthur, and then besides the fact that he is definitely a little heavier, I feel like he looks just like you, Brandon.
I do not. People say I look like Edward Snowden.
That's funny because this guy would have been a better cast for Edward Snowden.
Twitch your eye.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Twitch left eye. Yes. No. It's right there.
I thought this was a weird, a weird note. Arthur has a Tick.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it. I see what they did there.
Which is one more reason I think the Tick might be all in his imagination.
Yeah, I think he's just straight up loony, just like kind of like Wilfred, where it's like it's very real to him, but other people see it as something totally. I don't. But who knows?
Was the chair in it?
Chairface Chippendale
or Bat-Manuel?
No, no other characters yet.
Oh, or American Made.
There were some characters.
Is the Superman knockoff in the comic?
Yeah.
Okay.
But not the one that they showed in the
Supremus.
Not Supremus. It's different, but and that Superman story arc was actually very briefly in the animated series for like a hot second, and then there was a whole episode dedicated to him in the live action show. Wouldn't it be so great for Amazon, directly competing with Netflix, to take the common language of binge watchers today and be like, because they knew that the first season of, in the time they filmed this pilot, they knew the first season of Netflix's Daredevil was a hit. They knew the second season was going to have Elektra and the Hand in it. And they could have just straight up done that story arc and had, like, all of a sudden everybody who's now, who was not familiar with Frank Miller's Daredevil before is now very familiar with the Daredevil Netflix series. And there, and Amazon would be like, yo, what's up, Netflix? We're parodying your shit. If this show gets greenlit and they don't do that, they're missing an opportunity.
Start tweeting at them. Maybe they'll do it.
Well, here's the thing: you gotta if anybody's interested in seeing the show, you gotta vote for it. And me, it's hard because they asked how I like the show, and my truthful answer is I didn't. So,
did you watch any of the other competing shows?
I haven't, and I especially don't want to judge the tick well on brand recognition when I don't even know if these other shows are. I Love Dick, starring Kevin Bacon, and Jean-Claude Van Johnson. Starring Jean-Claude Van Damme.
I'm voting yes on that anyway. I am so excited
to go home and watch it. Sadly, I didn't get to watch. So it's the three episodes, the three different pilots. Supposedly, all of them are supposed to be comedies. Of course, they have, like, one's more, like, superhero comedy, a little more, you know, out there, where one's more of a romance life comedy. But honestly, I watched I Love Dick. I was really thinking with Kevin Bacon and What's-Her-Face from SNL in the title I Love Dick, it would have had way more comedy to it, but unfortunately it just had really awkward old people sex scenes. And like there was a lot of not, at least for the pilot, there was almost no comedy. I don't recall laughing at all. I think there was one scene where I was like,
A drama is the new comedy, I see.
Yeah, so, I don't understand why they're listing it as a comedy. But then the Jean-Claude Van Johnson one looks absolutely hilarious.
The premise is, what if Jean-Claude Van Damme was actually a private military agent of some kind?
Oh my God, I want to vote that yes right now.
But
yes.
Then, of course, now he's coming back and he's old. And he's trying to do... No, it's hilarious because there's like a... Just in the trailer, you see him trying to do like, you know, his old split and shit. He tries to, like, do that, but then he only goes down maybe 40% of the way.
Oh, this is depressing, actually.
It looked hilarious, and then he just gets jumped by a bunch of people. But then, of course, I think he's supposed to, like, still be able to kick ass and stuff. But it looked super funny to me. Yeah, I haven't been able to see it yet.
Is Amazon doing that thing where only one of these shows will be voted on?
I don't know, actually, because when you go to the voting page, and we'll link to it on this episode's page, it asks you, what have you watched? And then you can independently cast a review for all that. So it's not saying, out of these three things, choose one. You can go back there again and again and vote and give your full opinion on each of those different
things. I just point out that, it's really weird that I'm the one that likes something and you and other people are the ones that hate it. I think that's really weird.
What? That's normal. You usually like things that we all think suck. And then we usually like...
Yeah, because I like Suicide Squad. Tony hated Suicide Squad.
Yeah, from what I heard from everyone, that Suicide Squad was a horrible piece of trash. But I haven't seen it, so I can't judge it.
I haven't seen it either.
I did look at Rotten Tomatoes, which I know you shouldn't, but I did.
Yeah.
Gave Kubo really good reviews, though, and it was good. Kubo was amazing.
I still enjoyed The Tick. Like,
The thing about... I want to talk about the Rotten Tomatoes controversy, because the Rotten Tomatoes...
It's full of shit.
Yeah.
Because there's a critic side and a user side. I look at the user side more.
People got really upset over how Rotten Tomatoes gave Suicide Squad really low ratings, but like the users seemed to like it more than critics or something. But yeah, like all Rotten Tomato does is aggregate opinions of different critics and stuff. And like overall, they just take like, oh, did this guy have an overall positive tone or an overall negative tone? And they just kind of compile it. And I've noticed a lot of movies like... Comedy movies always seem to hover right around the 50% mark because it seems like people just have different senses of humor. So some critics are like, oh, I didn't like that. There was too many dick jokes. And other people are like, ha, lots of dick jokes.
Well, that's
I loved
why
it.
Critics are stupid.
Yeah. So
because they only like
know.
One genre of movie. And then if that's not the thing they saw, they're not going
to like
it. I
think you just have to kind of understand Rotten Tomatoes and not just blatantly hate it or love it, because if critics don't like something, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's a bad movie.
To be fair, every other movie review website said the same thing about Suicide Squad. So I don't
right,
know
and Rotten Tomatoes is an aggregator. You know, like they just take various critics. Yeah.
Have you seen it?
Suicide Squad? No, I haven't yet. I haven't seen Suicide Squad. I haven't seen Ghostbusters, both casualties of me being on the road. But I did see Kubo and the Two Strings, and it was fantastic.
Oh, I love that movie.
I want to see it again, I know literally nothing about it. I saw an ad on the top of
Amazon
one day.
Do you like Japan? Because this movie's got a shamisen in it.
What?
It's like a banjo, but except not a redneck or a hipster playing it.
I know what a shamisen is, but I'm glad that you explained it like that.
Thank you. That's the only way I can explain it.
Kubo and Two Strings is a stop-motion animated feature made by Laika, the studio that did...
Stop-motion?
Or Laika, however you pronounce it.
However you pronounce it. I'm not Russian. I don't know. Made by the guys who made Coraline, Paranorman, and The Box Trolls.
And Corpse Bride.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, let's forget about Corpse Bride. Let's focus on what they did that was good.
I wish I could.
They don't write stories. They just animate.
Well, they have a track. Aside from Corpse Bride, they have a track record of making high quality films. and Kubo was, man, it was incredible. As Brandon mentioned, it's very Japanese. It's a Japanese mythological film, though. Admittedly, there's not a lot of Asian actors in it. That's maybe the one point of controversy.
There's at least two. We read the credits.
Most supporting characters are Asian, but the main characters are not.
Oh my!
Asian actors, but that's really beside the point, because as far as judging the film for its actual, you know, its own merits, it's a fantastic movie that will. It's a great all ages film, because it's the sort of thing that will give. It's nightmare fuel for young children, for sure.
You know what? Without ruining anything, watching the beginning of the movie, I was like, this doesn't seem like something like a 5 or 10 year old would enjoy. Like, this is horribly depressing.
It does kind of open with a woman being thrust beneath the waves and having her head crack on a
being,
rock.
Hello,
and having like Alzheimer's and being comatose, and it's like depressing.
I remember being in the theaters watching it when The Lion King came out and seeing the dad just like.
It's good when people don't play it safe, because that's something you remember. That's a life lesson.
This movie's a bit dark. I actually saw a family leave with their children because of one of the events in the movie. So, and it's PG. And I went in with the movie going, oh, it's PG. It's going
to
be family friendly.
See, I go to horror movies, and then there are parents in there with their babies crying. And it's like...
Get the fuck out.
It's like, it's 11
that's
p.m.
That's their punishment.
Go home.
They're watching Human Centipede 3 tonight. They were bad.
Yeah.
But, or they were good.
Kubo's about a kid who plays, what's that instrument called?
Shamisen.
A shamisen, and can use his these magic powers to animate origami, to make paper fold into shapes and have them like do battle and stuff. He has these magic powers. And his mom... She came from this like sky place at the Moon Kingdom is what they're called.
Basically the heavens.
Oh, like you do.
Yeah. Yeah. And she, fell in love with a samurai, and they had a baby, and that baby's granddad took the baby's eye out and was trying to get the other eye, but they managed to escape. And she's been living in this hilltop with him for like forever, and he can't go out at night. And then bad shit happens.
Yeah, and it's actually the movie's kind of really depressing.
it's the themes all are surround death.
Yeah,
and it's a fantastic film.
I recommend everyone see it. But also the stop motion animation was so good that there were times where I was like, this whole scene is CG. Like it's too good. But it was all aside from like the mouth movements, it was all stop motion. It was ridiculous.
There's a scene where they fight a gigantic skeleton monster. That
spoilers.
They do that. You probably see it in the trailer.
Yeah.
But during the credits, they actually show some behind the scenes
like how
footage
they built
of it.
It's ridiculous.
It's like it looked like maybe a 7 foot tall puppet
with like machines hooked up. To it.
A torso bigger than a man.
Yeah.
And just absolutely incredible, like the scale that they're operating on. These guys are real artists, and the films they make are incredible. So
wow.
Check out Kubo if you have a chance.
Also, if you like Beatles covers with the shamisen.
Okie dokie.
There's only one, sorry.
not in the film, it's during the credits.
Yeah. They do My Guitar Gently Weaves. It's good.
Regina Spektor does that performance. Anyway, we got to give some shout-outs to people. Nerdy Show, this show, and the entire Nerdy Show network is 100% listener-supported. We rely on you. And... if you want to go to Amazon and shop, like you probably do want to do that, if you go to Amazon and shop, you go to nerdyshow.com/Amazon first. That's where you go. And follow our links. And you can buy all the stuff. Buy all the stuff you want. And it'll get back to Nerdy Show. That's how it rolls here. So if you want to bookmark that link at nerdyshow.com/Amazon, buy all your Amazon stuff as per usual. It'll inadvertently give back to Nerdy Show. That's one way you can do it. The other way, if you want cool stuff and awesome perks, is to go to... Patreon, patreon.com/nerdyshow or nerdyshow.com/support for all the different ways you can support us. At Patreon, we give you all kinds of cool stuff, including a ton of bonus content. In the last week, we just released all of the audio recordings I did from San Diego Comic-Con and Camp Fangamer. I did a panel on the subject of the Quintet trilogy of Soul Blazer, Terranigma, and Illusions of Gaia. They're themes of the death and resurrection of the world and how that relates to ancient and modern mythology.
Did you say Quintet?
Quintet was the company that produced those games.
Oh, I was like, does that mean there's four? Five?
Okay, anyway. It's a quadrilogy.
Yeah, but, sorry.
And also a panel I did with musicians who either have been influenced by or have adapted the music of the Earthbound series. That's just some of many things that from that time. We also talked to the entire cast of Man in the High Castle. Mm. We got that audio there. So check it out.
Even Shang Tsung.
Whoa.
Get over here.
Now, which he can do.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And you know why now.
Because he can transform.
We have two new patrons, Nathan Dyko and also Rodolfo Arredondo. And Rodolfo had a message for us, actually. Take it away, Boar.
He writes, I just wanted to let you know that I'm pledging to you to support the guys at Flame On Podcast. They put together a very special show presented from a unique perspective. The Spice Must Flow. I assume that's one of their episodes recently?
I haven't listened to the most recent episodes of Flame On. Maybe they talked about Dune, or maybe he's just into Dune.
Maybe he just really likes Dune, Boar. Come on.
Could be.
Get off your high horse.
Nathan and Rodolfo, thank you so much. And Flame On is the all-gay, all-geek podcast here on the Nerdy Show Network. You should totally check it out. They talk about all kinds of pop culture stuff. They just recently had a rundown of summer films where they saw a bunch of movies I didn't see. not for lack of trying, though. It just didn't happen. Now, another way you can support Nerdy Show is to rate and review us on iTunes. That costs absolutely nothing. And it's fun to do, right? Fun? Yes, no. It's more of a chore, actually. It's a chore, but we really appreciate that chore. So if you actually write a review, we will read it here on the show. Now, we don't actually have any reviews for just Nerdy Show the Show this time around. We would love to have some.
Oh, can you do that? Can I put a review in?
You could put a review in, Brandon. You could do that. Just the heck of it. You could even just, if you don't have time to write a review, you could just do a star rating. Just give us 5 stars.
No, I'm going to write a review.
I can do that.
You should do
that.
Are
you going to review and leave some stars?
Brandon? You should leave all the stars.
I'm going to make pictures out of text.
No, just the stars.
Oh, yeah, you should do that. Yeah, maybe the symbol for poop back and forth forever. I love Brandon. He's my favorite host. Poop back and forth forever. Birds, birds, birds.
There you go. Why is Brandon so charming? And now that I can see him, he's the handsomest one. Signed, Brandon.
So I do have a review, a recent review posted to the Nerdy Show Network wide feed. That's where we publish everything that we put out. And this is Nerds by Max Acree. Nerdy Show is real good, you guys. I've been listening for years, and they're really such a hidden gem. The roster of hosts have evolved over the years, but the dynamic of folks who sound like people you'd want to spend actual time with has remained a welcome constant. One of the funny things about listening to podcasts like this for a long time is that you develop a bit of a one-sided friendship with the cast, and you really feel like you know them. So many times I'll be talking about something, and I'll completely wish I was there to chime in because it's the kind of thing that I talk about with actual friends on topics I have actual opinions on. I've got to meet and work on creative projects with the group over the years, and everyone I've met has been so approachable and open. I don't have time to listen to every show on the network anymore, but I can assure you that they are all worth your time. The interview shows are phenomenal, the regular episodes are great, the microsodes are fascinating, deep dives into niche topics. It's the best. Hashtag get on it.
Can we put that quote that everything he just said on the front of the website
that should just
and then
be
use
the
it
banner.
As an advertisement for other web like just
well,
put it on
it's
other
three
websites?
Paragraphs, so
that's
it's
fine.
Not a good pull quote, but it is full of great smaller just pull quotes.
Paraphrase. And also,
We could just minimize it, take the three best sentences and make it.
He didn't include the hashtag more bore, so I thought that is that not trending anymore?
Also, my favorite kind of friendships are one-sided, so that's cool.
Now we're gonna read a couple other recent reviews from other feeds on Nerdy Show. The first, Nerdy Show Book Club, a spinoff of this series that now is its own thing, and in fact, it's going to be so its own thing that you're going to have to subscribe to the Nerdy Show Book Club feed. Specifically, if you want that next episode, be sure to do that.
Oh, does this mean I have to read more books?
You already have to read more books, Brandon.
Oh, I'm behind. Okay.
Well, read this message
from
Crafty Bastard.
Oh, yeah, I've got
Bastard.
That one. By Crafty Bastard. Do you enjoy reading books of the nerdy variety? Do your literary tastes lean towards science fiction, fantasy, Neil Gaiman, Margaret Atwood, and lauding Ready Player One while angrily sobbing over Armada?
Yeah.
If so, and even if you don't know all these references, this is the podcast book club for you. Every episode features a discussion about a community read-along, As of this comment, the book is The Handmaid's Tale by Atwood, as well as comedic reading of another bit of fiction and general discussion about literature and pop culture between some really enjoyable podcast hosts. I cannot stress enough of this. This is one of my favorite podcasts to look forward to, and I regularly re-listen to the episodes. Still not convinced? Morgan Freeman vampires is a thing you will learn about from this podcast. It's true. Only from the podcast will you understand the
Morgan
phrase,
Freeman.
Morgan vampires. Freeman podcast. Morgan, well, thank you. Thank you, crafty Freeman. Bastard.
Yeah, and yeah, thank you very much. And yes, the next book we're reading for Nerdy Show Book Club is The Handmaid's Tale. So we read a book. And the whole community reads along with us. Let us know what you think. And then we discuss your comments and our own feelings on the show.
And you can buy Handmaid's Tales on Etsy. I'm just saying.
Or you can buy A Handmaid's Tale through Amazon, through our Amazon links.
It's true.
Ta-da!
Is this one of those tales that you put in your butt and it gives
it's
you
a... butt plug. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But they're handmade.
For puppy play.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or they're a maid's tale.
Yes.
It's a maid's tale. For your butt.
Now, we also have a feed dedicated specifically to our dramatic programming. That's our tabletop role-playing shows where we play tabletop role-playing games and turn them into audio dramas or our straight-up scripted audio dramas. And that's called Nerdy Show Theater. You can subscribe to one feed just for all that content. We recently got this comment, this review on iTunes.
Yes, this is from Dizdon Bates. I hope I said that username properly. The title is The Hub That Is the Pub for All the Best RPGs in Your Podcast Feed. I like it. It's a poet.
He's not wrong.
All right, so from Ghostbusters to D&D to one-shots like Call of Cthulhu and Paranoia, these guys have everything you want in dramatic plays of RPGs. If you like any of these things, take a listen to the old episodes and salivate over the prospect of the new ones coming in the near future.
Thanks so much, Dizdon, Crafty Bastard, and Max Decree. And remember, if you go to nerdyshow.com/spread the word, we have links to where you can go to all of our feeds. So you can rate and review us at your ease and at your leisure. Hopefully you'll do that. It would mean the world to us.
And another new way to keep up with Nerdy Show that we just recently started getting into is the Nerdy Show subreddit.
That's true. We actually have. Oh, thanks, Brandon. Thanks for.
My crown fell off onto the microphone. Why did that happen? Putting it down.
we have a question internally that we've been asking ourselves, and that is the nerdyshow.com forums. Do they serve a purpose? We know some folks go there. I go there a lot.
It's my fault because I don't really participate that much, and I know I should, but I'm.
I love the forums. I have a lot of good discussions there, but a lot of places these days are taking down their forums. For example, BioWare recently entirely took down their forums. Lots of organizations are removing forums. I like the format.
What do you replace them with?
Well, that's what we're trying to determine here. So we've opened up a Nerdy Show Reddit. To see if that's a thing.
I feel like lots of forums are, because even when I was making sites, I thought forums would be great and perfect for things, but then people are telling me, like, people don't use forums anymore. You know, like, they're just completely out of date.
We're just old.
And also, as far as comments go, we've got, like, a billion different ways to leave comments.
Exactly.
Like,
it's social media now.
Some people don't want to sign up for a SoundCloud account, which is where we host the podcasts. So this way, if you already have a Reddit account, you can leave comments, so you don't have to make an account at the Nerdy Show site. Or fight with any of the discuss thing, which I'm probably going to get rid of at some point.
I'm surprised we didn't have a subreddit before.
Oh, we've had it for a couple of years, but we just haven't really done anything with it. But now,
I mean, anybody could have searched and found it and done something with it, but you know, no one did. So.
Well, hey, it exists.
But now we've got it so it auto posts all of our episodes and videos. So about 15 minutes or less after we post a new episode or something, it'll show up in your Reddit feed. So if you subscribe to us on the subreddit and, you know, you're browsing Reddit, you should see all of our new content. And if any users decide to start, you know, start a conversation, you can make a text post, which is basically like a forum post. And then the threaded comments would be about whatever topic.
So everything's all in one place, which makes it a lot
exactly.
easier.
Exactly. So instead of, you know, making a forum post, you can just go to our subreddit and make a post and interact with some of the other fans. Or if you want to make a comment on one of our videos or one of our podcasts, just go ahead over to the subreddit and you can try it out there. You know, maybe we'll get some more fan interaction that way.
Ultimately, you know, these tools for interaction they're more for you than they are for us. So we want to know what you guys think, how you want to interface with Nerdy Show. So let us know. Let us know your feelings on Reddit. If you like Reddit, use the Reddit by all means. If you think like that, you know, if you
vote with your actions.
Yeah, if it should be the forums. I mean, I personally love the organizational way that the forums are laid out. That way, you know, you won't lose anything. In most social media, you can post something and it'll just disappear. You know, good luck finding it.
If you want like our personal phone numbers and talk, I mean, I've got them all, so just ask me.
I have a fake personal number.
I'll give you all. I'll give you everyone's personal phone numbers. Uh-oh. You can just talk to me like, "Hey, what's up, Cap?" And like, it's 4 a.m. Hey, what's up?
You remember those times like back in middle school where you could have like party lines, or even high school, maybe on your phone line.
I was
like,
in college when you were born. I'm kidding. I don't.
I doubt that. How old are you?
57.
All right. Well, yeah.
That is a truth fact. Then
that's true.
I look good.
I don't know
you
what,
do.
What is a party line aside from, you know,
well, 1-800 call party line.
Oh yeah, no, not that kind of party line. It was all right. So you would have where you could have like two people on the phone at a time. Like you could have.
It's a conference call.
Yeah, right. A conference call.
Okay,
and then three way.
Yeah. Okay, so you would have 3-way call, uh-huh. And then that person would 3-way call, and then that person. So then there'd be like 8 flipping people on the phone at the same time, and we just talked for hours for whatever reason, because we're lazy. We didn't want to go out of the house.
This is the major.
The 1990s, loophole. Everybody. Yeah. Or was that when it was?
Early 2000s, late 90s, all the above.
Every. For as long as phones existed until recently.
I remember call waiting.
And now it's like, how. Is there even 3-way call, like conference calls?
Dial down the center.
What?
1-800-CALL-ATT. Yeah. Does that still work? Jesus. Try it out. Give it a whirl. Yeah.
How do you remember that?
1010-220.
Because in the...
Make long-distance calls for free.
In the original Rules of Attraction DVD, the a film that's a Brett Easton Ellis adaptation, it's like the same guy, the guy who wrote, you know, American Psycho, there's a audio commentary inexplicably by Carrot Top, who's not at all in the film. I guess he was there in the recording studio where they were recording audio for the movie. So they just had, hey Carrot Top, why don't you watch this movie you've never seen before and have nothing to do with? And the only part of it that was funny, that at least that I remember, because I watched this commentary, I mean, like, what the hell is this? Is that there's one point where Sean Bateman picks up a phone and Carrot Top goes, oh, dial down the center.
And that was the funniest thing Carrot Top's ever done.
Oh,
dude, he comes into my work sometimes and scares the shit out of me. He's really nice.
I thought he moved.
I mean, I didn't say we weren't friends, but like, I know he listens to the show, so I apologize, Carrot Top, but he is jacked. He is huge,
and I like
he listens to Nerdy Show.
You know I say things, boy.
Oh, I was like, I like the color you added to your hair.
Why didn't you pitch it to him?
A couple like rainbow streaks happening underneath. He was on his Vespa just driving by work. Like,
I haven't seen him in a little bit, so he might be.
From now on, if you see celebrities, even if they're like sea level, tell them about Nerdy Shows. So that way we can, you know, maybe they'll tweet about us or something.
Have I pitched my Carrot Top film idea on the show yet?
I feel like I remember something about it, but my memory is so bad.
He lives in Orlando. He will find you. Do not. He will kill you.
No,
he can pick you up and crush you.
This is a genuine pitch. I love Carrot Top. The most interaction I've had with Carrot Top was watching this DVD commentary, which he clearly didn't want to do, and I was listening to only out of curiosity. So that doesn't really color my relationship with Carrot Top, okay? I don't have any opinions on him, but he did at one point make a film that I've never seen called Chairman of the Board.
Hmm.
Oh, no. I've heard of it.
And Chairman of the Board is about a guy who's like – he's a surfer who somehow gets thrust into a corporate situation. The poster is him on a surfboard going through like an office corridor. Right? Okay, so here's my pitch for a bad on purpose thematic sequel to Chairman of the Board. It's called Surf's Up, but like a medieval surf. So it's about...
I remember this idea.
I think I do too.
I don't.
Have we had this on an episode?
I've
had this talk between us.
But I don't know if it happened on an episode. So it's like Monty Python and the Quest for the Holy Grail, but with Carrot Top... discovering surfing and teaching surfing to people in the Middle Ages. And that's all I've got so far, but I'll make a spec script if he's interested.
I'm sure they have really good waves.
And
I
have a lot of connections in the film community, so...
So we can make this happen. Just, you know, Surf's Up, the thematic sequel, or the spiritual sequel, really. It's not thematic. God. It's spiritual sequel to Chairman of the Board, made purely based on people. I mean, the general purpose idea would be people will see that this is a film and be like, oh my god, what the fuck, that's so random, I'll go see that. That's the idea. I mean, that's the whole premise.
I really want to make a sequel to Black Knight, but that's just my own personal thing.
Wasn't there? I think the one where
Martin Lawrence works at a Renaissance festival gets didn't sent back in time into real medieval times.
I think there was some kind of like really bad
sequel. Not with Martin Lawrence.
No, I don't think so.
I need Martin Lawrence and possibly Will Smith. Bad Boys crossover.
Boom. Anyway. Blacker Nights.
Yeah. Dude, I would watch that in a heartbeat.
Oh, no, that would be inappropriate.
Yeah, no being inappropriate here.
I'm like, bigger, blacker nights.
Sure, why not?
Cards Against Humanity would do it.
All right. Bigger, blacker box.
Now, we had a lot of great topics that we wanted to discuss in this episode. We're running out of time.
Oh, no.
Does anybody have something they want to dive in with here?
No Man's Sky.
No Man's Sky. That's what we should do.
So, here's the, before Boar rips into it, and he rightly so. Rightly
I actually
so.
Can't rip into it that hard. Okay. I just know about the controversy because I haven't actually played the game.
See, I don't know what the controversy of it is. I've just...
Well, let's describe No Man's Sky off
the bat. Let's start off. This game was debuted at E3 several years ago.
Years ago.
At the Sony conference.
It's made by a really small development company who used a lot of math and algorithms to try to procedurally generate basically an entire universe. Like planets, the actual size of planets, animals that move around, factions, ship battles, you know, flying, like taking hours to fly somewhere or upgrading your ship to not take hours. Like everything was supposed to be included in it. And you got to play it for a little bit.
Yeah. Well, and you own it. So you've played it quite a bit.
I played it like at least 30 hours and I've been having fun with it a lot. A lot of people say it's a bit repetitive and there is truth to that. There's also a reason for that. But how was your experience?
I loved it. It reminded me a lot of the first time playing Minecraft and thinking, holy shit, this is so big. It's so huge. I'm here. I'm just a little lonely, scared person on a planet. I've got to gather resources. The planet is 100% random.
Like, you can't even scan things yet. Like, you have to rebuild that.
It doesn't really hold your hand. You got to figure out how to do stuff. You got to rebuild your ship. And then once you do rebuild your ship, you realize, oh, my God, that was a whole planet. I could have spent literally forever there.
It's the size. It's like as big as the Earth would be. So if you were to actually try to walk around it, it would take like a year, like months.
And then you leave and you go to space and you realize that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's countless numbers of these out there in the world. And there's trading posts and I can take all the resources I've mined from this planet and sell them to other people and I can blow up asteroids and I can try to negotiate trade stuff with like alien races that don't speak my language. So the only way I can determine what their language is by discovering artifacts that help me translate stuff. So maybe one day I'll see a sentence that has a random word I recognize in it.
Yeah, and I've collected over 300 words and I barely understand races, but I'm starting to. And one of the biggest gripes that I have with other people that don't like the game is they say like, there's no story. Like this Duh. Game does have a story. It just doesn't expositionally jump at you saying, this is who you are and this is where you are and now you're going to go over here. You know there's something weird going on with the center.
It was always going to be your own experience. Yeah. That was always going to be the story.
And the premise, it does actually, when you start up, you don't know who you are, why you're here, why you're crashed on a planet with a broken ship. There is a sphere called the Atlas that that all it says is like, do you want to be guided by the Atlas? And that's part of the main story is you try to follow this thing towards the center of the universe, and you don't have to, but I've been doing it, and you start learning how this whole universe is kind of like an experiment, and all the races are connected or created by this thing, and it gets really crazy, and you don't learn that because they're telling you. You learn that because you see things a certain way, because you pick up on certain words and certain phrases like races are saying, or that the Atlas has its own language, too, that you can try to learn. So it's not throwing the story in your face. You experience and explore it, and you figure out the story on your own. So that part I absolutely love. And I loved the game as much as you did the first time playing until Boar ruined it for me today because he reminded me about all the shit they promised that's not in the game.
We got ourselves a classic Peter Molyneux situation. That's the guy who created Fable. And I love the first two Fables. I enjoyed playing the games. But if you had expectations based solely on the things coming out of that dude's mouth,
you know, I actually did not buy the game or pre-order it or anything, even though it looked pretty, and I was like, wow, if they could pull that off.
Because you wanted to wait and see if like, it was everything.
No, I was pretty sure that they weren't going to be able to deliver on most of the stuff that they had there. Because like Star Citizen is trying to do something like similar in scope. Well, actually way bigger in scope.
This game's actually similar to Starbound. On PC.
Starbound?
No. Yeah.
The little 2D,
it's
like,
actually very similar the way that the universe works and the planets work.
All right, I'm just going to forget you said that.
It's absolutely true.
What were you saying, Nikki?
Well, I was just curious, like, with it, because, like, we've been playing it over at my house, and I'm originally was under the impression that although very unlike, at first I thought you just kind of went around this galaxy all by yourself. You were alone. You were never going to come in contact with any other races per se, unless you were on the actual planets. Now other ships are becoming involved and things like that. I don't know if that's...
There are basically like three main races that travel all over the place. Okay. So there's different bases with them. There's some of them are only on one planet.
From the first demo, they were showing like battles out in space that you could just find. And like, and
that
were,
doesn't really happen.
Yeah.
And here, let me go over a few. I have a list of the things that were promised and were actually shown him playing when he said, like, this is the version you'll be playing. So let me go over that list.
And there's a website, if you want to get really dig into it, called onemanslie.info.
So he said there'd be planetary physics. And what that is there's night and day cycles, the planet rotates, and the planet orbits around the sun. So there are night and day cycles, but I was staring at a planet, and it doesn't fucking move, and it doesn't rotate. So that kind of pisses me off, because in the beta that people were playing, you could land on a planet, and then when you went off the planet, like, the base you were going to go at was not there anymore, because
supposedly
the planet was rotating.
Suns are part of the skybox, too. They're not actually, like...
Exactly. You can't get to them. Yeah. The other thing here... Okay, so ship classes with meaningful differentiation. So the different ships you can find belong to these other races, and you can try to barter with them and find them. And each race was supposed to have the faction points, and all their ships do different things. Nope. There are sort of factions where they'll like or dislike you, but it has no meaningful impact on the gameplay so far. There's no giant ship battles where you can choose sides, which was promised and shown. All of these things are in the game, and they took it out, and I don't know why, because you can see leftover menus. Like, on a ship, it'll say, like, how strong the weapons are, how strong the defense is, and then how strong, like, the scanning technology is. The scanning technology is always at zero, and there's no way, literally, to make it any better. So it was in the game, and they took it out, or it wasn't ready. So the race that I really like... they're supposed to have better, like, scanning and scientific technology to their ship, or faster. No. They're all the same.
I watched an 8-minute-long video of the guy, one of the lead creators of the game, just straight up saying things actually, just, you know, people would ask him yes or no questions, like, is this going to be a thing? Yeah. And he would say yeah, and then elaborate on it.
Can you land on asteroids? Yeah. Nope. Can you trade with freighters?
I think
freighters?
They asked if you could land on comets, too.
Can you trade with freighters in space? I've seen freighters in space with cargo that I can blow up and try to steal, but you can't land on them and barter with them.
Can you just travel from one planet to another?
Yes, it's completely seamless. The only way...
No. I mean, like, could you just manually pilot, like, oh, there's a planet that way. I'm going to fly that way into space.
If you can see it, yeah. But the problem is, if you're going between solar systems, you have to use a hyperdrive. Then it takes like a minute to get there, but I don't know that, but it goes like your screen changes. So I don't know that you can manually fly between solar
That's
systems.
One of the things people were complaining about.
It would also take like 200 years, even with your fast ship.
Right. But if you're doing a proper simulation and this is something that
Eve does that, I believe. You can do that anyway. So they were saying, you know, large scale battles. I've never seen one. There are pirates which will attack and you can fend them off, but that's it. So sand planets, I've never seen one. Planets with rivers, I've actually never seen a river. You know what? I've actually never seen fish. I've never seen anything living under the water.
Is there water?
Yeah, there's water, but I've never seen any living things besides like plants. So that's fucked up. No rivers. There are large structures, but there aren't cool things like crashed giant freighters. There's no hacking. Locked doors. You can use bypass chips, but there's no like actual hacking. There's no radio chatter.
They said there would be.
Yeah, no radio chatter. These are all things they promised would be. There's no radio chatter, and there's no interacting with other humans. And, like, day one, two people got together on the same planet, on the same point, were staring at each other, could not see them. You can't even interact. And they were promising you could join other players in battles and friends and stuff.
And they did say repeatedly that it would be unlikely you'd be able to find anybody. But if you did, you could.
They said straight up, like, will I be able to see my friend? Yes. Like, I mean, so all of these things, the problem is they were all implemented. They were all in the game, but they removed them because I can clearly see a lot of the remnants. Like, Sentinels are supposed to have these giant AT-ST-looking walkers. I've never seen one, and I can't get to that level. They do have ships, though, which would chase me into the atmosphere and killed me. That was fun. But there's a lot of things that I don't understand were promised. There's supposed to be some updates with, like, base building and stuff, and maybe they'll fix this. And I don't want to outright blame the company that made this game because if you look at who's developed such an enormous game, it's a very tiny crew. And it was only ever meant to be like a little indie thing like Minecraft that was never supposed to be like a triple A game.
But and they got sucked up into Sony.
Sony promised them the world and were like, okay, we're going to give you all this marketing power. We're going to put all of our money behind this. We're going to do all this. And they still have a small team.
And there's clips of this guy on Stephen Colbert.
Yeah, and it's all because of Sony.
saying things that aren't true, I might add.
And I
or didn't end up happening, I suppose.
I feel like all of these things are in the game, but they were not really, they were like, they're not really done. And they didn't want to delay anymore because Sony's like, you got to put a timeline on this. You got to do it. You got to do it. So I want to blame Sony more than I do.
I feel like it would have been fine if they weren't trying so hard. Like if they were just focusing on what they knew that they were going to be able to deliver.
They probably were like, yes, you can land on asteroids because you could, I don't see why you couldn't.
Now they still see, like, if you've already found a planet. Change the name, named the animals, and...
Oh, if someone else finds that planet, I've already found a planet that someone else
found.
You
can't change their stuff, right?
No, someone else discovered it. I can never discover it. Okay. So that's there.
Yeah, because I know, like, we were going around finding stuff, but we haven't found anybody else's stuff yet. So I just wasn't even sure, like, does that even work?
A lot of the creatures looked like they were mistakes from the game Spore.
Dude, I was just about to say that. No lie.
That's what always happens with, like, random... generated.
Yeah, I know. Procedurally generated stuff isn't always going to be perfect.
I have found things the size of buildings, though.
I felt like it had to have been like the same designers of it because even certain plant life that they had reminded me of stuff that you'd start out with on these weird terrain areas on Spore.
Yeah, and they were like, so animals will eat and interact with other animals. I've never seen it.
Is everything pink in that game, too?
I've been on planets like almost pitch black with nothing. And I do have some really fun stories.
I mean,
I love playing.
Like, in spite of all these, the problem.
Do I wish all this stuff was in there? Do I feel like I've been gypped? Yes.
Have you been attacked by the creatures yet?
I've been attacked by monsters and things like little aliens that were just dicks.
Yeah, I saw like a couple things like get afraid of something. It was like chased by something, and then when I was trying to do something, it ended up like attacking me, and I was just like.
And it is repetitive. Sometimes you'll find a planet where you see the exact same plants but with like a different color palette. And you're like, oh, God. But I've seen planets that I've never seen again with giant pyramids and like floating plants in the sky with rare materials that people online don't even know how to find.
I haven't even seen that yet.
And I have found them. And like people are like, well, we've never seen this. And I found them floating in the air in like weird plants and stuff.
Super
so it's
cool.
And like I said, like I was just fucking around and the Sentinels attacked me. So I was like, I'm going to escape into space. They're not going to chase me. And one fucking Sentinel ship warped in, took him out. And then four more came in. I flew into the atmosphere, but they killed me. And so basically I died and restarted on the planet with my ship crashed. And this was a hostile planet where everything, like all the Sentinels instantly aggro you and try to kill you. And I had to repair my ship for 5 hours running around. And I had to build, I had to build an attachment on my gun to blow holes. Cause you can blow holes in any terrain if you build this grenade attachment. I was literally digging holes and the planet was freezing too. So I was constantly losing shields. So I'd have to dig holes and hide in there till the Sentinels went away and hide from the weather and
gather
ingredients.
That's the most important takeaway is that No Man's Sky, you will have, if even whether they update the game or not, you will have a genuine, really cool experience if you play it right
like
now.
That.
You will.
It is missing 50% of the game, according to this list.
It's missing 50% of the things they promised.
Yeah.
But if you're not,
I saw them in action when he was playing them and letting other people play. It was in the build. They just didn't finalize
it for some
reason.
If you've absorbed no promotional material for No Man's Sky, you will buy this game, you'll play this game, and you'll have a great time.
Meanwhile, Eve, right now, you can build giant cities, player-made cities the size of actual, like, Manhattan, they showed.
But you can't explore them, can you?
Yeah, you can go in.
Oh, weird.
You can walk around and shit.
I think at some point I probably will buy No Man's Sky, but I'm probably going to take the approach that I did with Destiny and wait about a year after they fix everything, and then it's $20.
They're going to update and make it so you can, like, build actual structures and stuff, but I actually want the original stuff first, you know, so we'll see what happens with that. The planet I first started on was covered in fucking toxic gas, and I had to keep hiding in my ship till my shields were filled and I could breathe again, and then run out and try to fix my ship again. Actually really fun. What is happening? Will you get bored of it if it's the same thing over and over again for 100 hours? Maybe, but you can also try to actually do the main story and not fuck around on planets. I found planets, like, covered in money, yo.
Covered in money.
There's like really rare objects in the universe, and I found a planet covered in them.
What do you do with the money?
And I go to the starbase and sell them so I can try to buy a ship with actual fucking cargo space. But basically, every time I would grab one of these items off the planet, instantly I'd get like the equivalent of 3 stars of Grand Theft Auto.
So when you go to one of these bases, when you dock with
there's a starbase in every solar system.
That's okay. One, that's stupid. Two, do you just dock into it and it shows like a menu and you just start buying and selling stuff?
You get out and you find the NPC or there's like a little there's a global hub where you can sell things and other players I think can buy them or something like that. But there's a hub where you can go in there and just buy items and sell items.
Okay,
I was worried
that it was just going to be like, you know, you'd go dock and then like there'd be a menu that came up and that's all your interaction.
It is a little sparse. Like the game is very like a solitary kind of experience where there's barely any like life, any NPCs. But in bases there are a lot of NPC ships that'll land. And you can trade with them or actually barter for their ship, too, which could be really... I spent like 10 hours, and I saved up 5 mil, yo. And I found this awesome ship and bought it, and immediately this huge ship landed worth 20 mil. And I was like, fuck you. It's like bigger than my ship. My ship's huge, dude. Huge. That's all I'm saying.
It's huge. It's huge.
Well, but I'm going to still keep playing it and switching between that and Neverwinter.
With that, we got to go. We're at time. We're way past time. We're running over. So let's say goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye. So long.
That was a really good ending. Goodbye. Bye. Everyone say bye at the same time.
Bye, guys.
Taking us out is a track by Freeze Pop. This is a non-album track. I don't think it's ever going to show up on anything official because it was given out specifically to backers of their Patreon backers of their Kickstarter campaign recently. Ooh. So many ways to crowdfund, guys.
Crowdfund.com.
They've crowdfunded their fifth record, and also it looks like also two additional records worth of content in addition to that because it was a rampantly successful Kickstarter. So we're going to get more Freeze Pop in the world, and this is a song they wrote just about the act of crowdfunding. It's called Human Money.
Human money.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. So, thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time, guys.
We bought a spaceship. It wasn't smart. Now we don't have enough dollars for art. We have no trust funds. We have a bunch of drum machines. We are an indie band. Been at it for a while. Maybe we've helped you dance. Maybe we've made you smile. We want to make a business is not the healthiest thing right now. This album's gonna be a total masterpiece, so get your checkbook out and find our new release. We wanna make some songs, we wanna bring you folks along. We'll make an album you can dance and party to, just send your treasure. Your human money, yeah.
Thanks for listening to Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud and Audioboom, or subscribe and stream on Google Play. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network, and there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. And be sure to follow Nerdy Show on all your favorite social networks, including Reddit. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.
Nice.